Welcome to the banter, everybody. Welcome
to the banter.
Let's see. First try.
Ooh.
This remote is on fire.
Yeah, it works a lot better whenever you're not it from 25 feet away.
There you go. Before we get into the Bant podcast today, got a quick word from our sponsors, Manscaped. It's holiday season. You know what's a great gift for somebody this holiday season?
EDC.
Well, we'll get into that.
EDC would be good.
Well, part of your EDC would be Manscaped.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh,
that's nice.
And Manscaped has some pretty fire things going on right now in their Performance Package 5.0. Ultra. Okay.
Ultra.
It's brand new from them. You're going to want to look nice during the holiday season. You got to be looking nice and well groomed. So make sure to use code BANTER20 for 20% off plus free shipping. You can unwrap to get the smoothness this season with Manscaped. So inside the special Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, you're going to get the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Mm-hmm. I've had three iterations of lawnmowers now. This one is definitely the greatest by far. We're talking about skin-safe technology. It's got two next-gen blade heads, a standard trimmer blade for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go for that smooth finish. Pretty insane. They snap in and out super easy. Also comes with the Weed Whacker 2.0 nose and ear hair trimmer, which also has proprietary skin safe technology. You do not want to get chopped up when you're using a nose hair trimmer. That would not be a good time. Plus, both are waterproof, so there's no issue clearing the snow out of your driveway, if you know what I mean. You do not want to get hair in your sink. I get yelled at by my wife for that quite often.
Or in the snow.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, you can't think about their you can't forget about their liquid formulations. They've got the Crop Soother aftershave lotion. I think that's a newer one.
I noticed that.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. And then always the Crop Preserver anti-chafing ball deodorant as well. The gift of Manscaped doesn't stop there. This bundle comes with two free gifts: their Boxers 2.0 premium underwear and the Shed 2.0 toiletry bag. We're on to the Shed 2.0 at this point.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. I have one now, and it's pretty nice. So make sure to give everybody the best presents this year from Manscaped, you can go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with code BANTER20. That's 20% off plus free shipping with code BANTER20 at manscaped.com. It's a great product. EDC.
Let's hit him with it.
So, Jason, Connor mentioned EDC.
Let's just say the phrase and let Jason just unroll.
Okay.
Okay. Jason, EDC, go.
What does it mean to you?
Well, so I've already fallen. I mentioned this to Connor. EDC is everyday carry. For those who don't know what EDC was, and there's a black hole on YouTube called Everyday Carry. Now, for those
I forgot we talked about.
I'm gonna start crying. I'm so excited.
and for that, I didn't really know what it was until a few months ago. I've been into it a few months now. Connor has seen my EDC bag.
That's true. I totally forgot about that.
Have an EDC pack. Yeah, because I even showed it to you.
I remember
one of our weeklies.
Yeah,
I poured it out and.
You little sicko. You knew this whole time he was a sleeper. Yeah.
I knew that he would be into it, but I realized I know he's into it because he showed me.
Yeah, okay. I even built a little EDC.
Oh, I would have asked you to bring it. It's EDC. Where is it?
It's in my backpack at the warehouse. Because I don't bring my backpack over here with me to the warehouse.
Okay.
So when you guys are over there, I have it out. I have my Atlas patches. I have the patch. I have a battery pack in there. I have a little wrench set.
That's awesome.
I have a flashlight in there.
Whenever you carry it in your book bag like that, that's a no brainer. It just makes total sense. We were talking about people carrying around like the sling bags.
Yep.
Which is
totally
respectable. I understand that. I just don't see myself just carrying around a sling bag because I like to carry as little stuff as possible.
Yeah. Jason, here's where I'm at in this EDC thing. Okay. This all starts, a few months ago. I recently became a homeowner and I don't want to say the trap of, because I fell into the addiction that is buying tools.
Yes.
I have a house. I need these tools, most of them. Some of them I don't need yet. I'm just trying to find a use for them. So I bought a ton of tools. Like, tools have been my thing.
Yeah.
And then you get into the tool thing, and all of a sudden you start seeing woodworking stuff on your YouTube, and you start thinking about, I'm going to start doing stuff with wood because I have tools that I can do things with. And that's a whole thing. And then, as that's gone on, every once in a while, I'd be looking through my YouTube page and what's that? What's that little video that says, everyday carry necessities, all those thumbnails, they're just a big old thumbnail full of gadgets.
Yeah, they're just top down shots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I I kind of knew what everyday carry was. I had seen it and heard of it a little bit before, so I was like purposely avoiding them. I was like, if I click on this video, my life is going to change forever.
Because we had that same conversation like a month ago where I told you that I'd watch one of those videos, and I was like, literally I can't watch anymore.
Yeah, and I said, I was like, yeah, I'm trying not to click on them at all. And so like that's how it was for a little bit, and then like literally I'm 2 days in right now. I'm 2 days not sober. I finally saw one and clicked on it. And of course, like, it's like a moth to a flame. Yep. I saw a fancy little pocket knife or a multi-tool or whatever it was, and I was like, I want all this stuff.
Right.
And now I'm at this point where I haven't bought anything yet. I haven't decided to commit my life to the lifestyle of EDC, but I am on the brink.
That's fantastic. I mean, maybe not fantastic because addictions are tough things as long as you can control those addictions. So I'm in a place in my life where I can handle my addictions a little bit more because I'm a little older for sure. So
yeah, I can't.
But I'd already had little things. I'd already been a Leatherman guy because I'd been issued Leathermans during the Air Force. So I have three different Leatherman Waves, which was one of their top-notch ones. So I already have a multi-tool that I loved.
Cool. I have a good multi-tool.
And so I was already kind of there, and I usually carried that. Then I got in the point where I started carrying a knife every day. Like, this is one of the knives I found for EDC. It's a Civivi knife, which is really nice.
So this is suck it, Trev.
It is a brand I had not learned about. So yeah. So
Which one is it?
I'm terrible with models. I have a smaller one as well that I actually. But this is the one. This is my everyday carry knife that I have on me. So
mine is the Praxis.
This may be the Praxis, or my other one may be the Praxis. This one I got off eBay because, like, I'm an Amazon. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I have three kids in college. I need the economical purchases. So these were cheaper on Amazon for like $28, which wasn't bad. Like, for a good knife, $28.
Yeah, I think this one was like $40.
Yeah,
for this one.
I have one of mine as a Praxis. I have like three of these and three of the other smaller ones as well. So
I really like the mini blades. I am kind of right now. I'm kind of infatuated with the idea of having a really small blade on my keyring. Yeah, but I understand that the knife is like kind of a great place to start with the EDC thing. Like, that's kind of where everybody starts.
Yeah.
The problem is though, I have a cool multi tool, like a really nice one.
Yeah, you do have a really cool one.
I think it's a Gerber.
You need to carry your Milwaukee multi-tool. That thing's sick.
Yeah, and I have a Milwaukee like fold-out utility blade that has like a screwdriver on it.
The one that's on a ton of EDC like videos.
But I don't know. Here's the big problem is the channel that brought me into this is this guy. His channel's name is Accessorize, and it's spelled EX, like excessive but accessorize, which I think is a great channel name. Yep. And his channel, all of his EDC stuff is more like gadgets, and they're all like matte black, made out of titanium, meant to look really clean and well built, and
that's so satisfying,
gadgety, like satisfying stuff. Yeah. But they're all so expensive. Yeah. Oh my gosh! Like, the very first tool, Connor will tell you, it was this like little multi tool thing that had like angled pry bar and like a spring-loaded wrench thing on the end of it. It was so cool. I was like, I've never seen a multi-tool like that. It's
Trevor
so small.
Showed it to me, and I was like, it's probably not that cool. And then I saw it, and I was like, oh my gosh,
it was so sick.
One of those.
And I like looked it up, and because they always have their links in their description, right. And it was like $80. Yeah. You know what, Connor?
Hit me with it.
Maybe you and I just need to make an EDC channel, because here's the thing about it is EDC is one of these beautiful YouTube channels. Like, this guy's channel in particular, it's so beautiful because it runs itself in the sense that people send him these objects for free. Duh. He is probably, at this point in his channel, he's probably paid just for even showing the object. Yeah. But then he also has affiliate linking in the description. So he's getting paid double off of that potentially. And his video is literally, look at this thing I was sent. It's like, you ever seen Unbox Therapy? Yeah. You ever watch Unbox Therapy back in the day?
Yeah.
The most brilliant channels on YouTube are those.
Yeah.
Or any kind of reviewer, really. Yeah. Because you get big enough, the people just send you stuff. You have unlimited content, and it's great to watch. Like, I would watch so many of this guy's. He just slightly themes them. Like, here's the best weatherproof gadgets, or here's the best iPhone gadgets. And it's beautiful.
We can use this set. We just need to turn the lights way lower.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. We might have to go EDC route.
Get a little grungier.
Let's put the word out there. We're putting consider this the word. It's being put out there.
The letters.
EDC. If you are a company that makes EDC products and you're listening to the banter right now,
send them
our way.
Yeah.
Maybe let's start smaller. Let's start with Instagram an Instagram. Stories. Yeah. Well, not even like we'll make an Instagram account. It'll be called. Do you want in on this?
I'm in.
Okay, Jason's in as well.
I already got like I have three EDC.
JKT's EDC.
Wait, we should ask Hunter. We don't want another biker gang situation.
Hey, Hunter,
get his attention.
Hunter, how do you want to get in on an EDC thing where we get sent free EDC stuff?
Okay.
Don't want free.
No, it's fine.
More for us.
It.
It's more for us.
Yeah, more for us. We cleared it. Wait, ask Silas.
Silas!
Is he not?
Oh my gosh, I feel bad for the listeners.
Let's just add him in.
Okay, Silas is in because I think he will want it.
Yeah, he'll want it.
What about, Brad's going to want in too?
Yeah, but Brad already has.
All right, Foundation EDC.
Wait, does Brad have EDC stuff?
Not in the way that I do, so I'm sure he has little stuff. But I don't know
if Brad has the ability to narrow it down.
The cast.
It's another addiction. He'll tell you he doesn't want another addiction.
Feel like Brad probably carries the full size version of everything he's in EDC.
Okay, well, if Brad doesn't want another. I don't want to leave Brad out.
No. Brad would want to be part of this.
We're all in.
Okay, so there's five of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, five of us. What are we gonna name it?
But if you're a company sending stuff, just like. A couple will get.
Oh, Silas is out of the bathroom. Ask Silas.
Silas, you in on a do you want free EDC stuff?
Yeah. Do you want to dive back into EDC? Are you willing to do that?
Yeah, why?
Okay, Silas is in. All right, it's out there. Now we just got to think up the name.
We're
coming up with our own channel.
Nothing.
Our own
page.
No, it's not Foundation. Hunter's not involved. Hunter doesn't want anything to do with it.
Foundation EDC. That'd be so funny.
Or EDC Foundation, because we're
FDG
the Foundation.
EDC.
Low key, though, like a disc golf EDC would be kind of sick.
Yeah.
Sure, like, you could go straight in your disc golf bag.
Yeah.
Dude.
An EDC to go in your...
Might need to develop... Yeah, like the little disc doctor things. You could put... What would be another good thing to have for like a little first aid kit would be good for a disc golf EDC.
The funny thing to me about like EDC is that it's supposed to be for someone who goes more along the lines of like a minimalist. You want to be able to have something for every situation, but you want to be able to all carry it in like the same place.
Yeah.
But typically the people that get into EDC are people that weren't carrying anything before.
Correct.
And now think that it's really cool and want to carry much things. So it's not it's definitely not a minimalist thing anymore.
It's almost like the minimalist attitude would be the essence of like those things that you're carrying. That's all you need.
Right.
For like your life.
You wouldn't need a whole tool set.
Like you don't need the tool. Like this is everything. Where it's become like this is what you carry just when you walk out your front door.
Yeah.
Which is like, now it's more excessive than it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You gotta be prepared though. You can be so prepared. I don't know, man. I'm ready. I like, and my wife's probably listening to this right now. I like dropped halfway hint on her. Where like she asked me, I came to a crossroads. I was telling Connor last night where I started explaining to her the EDC thing, and like I don't know, she thought it was the stupidest thing ever, but it doesn't matter. She, you know, if she thought it was a good Christmas gift, she would like, you know, make it work. So, and she asked me, she was like, "Is that something you wanted for Christmas?" And I was kind of like, "Okay, this is a big decision right now because like if I say yes, then I'm committing to like my wife's full attention and energy on my Christmas gift going towards this EDC thing," and I'm like. But then I'm thinking about it. I'm like, well, that sounds kind of... Maybe I need somebody to push me over the ledge. And, you know, somebody just put their foot on the gas for me. And so I kind of was like... I kind of ended up saying, like, if you were to, like, watch a few... I said, if you were to research EDC, and I was like, let me clarify that. If you were to watch a couple EDC YouTube videos and kind of get the gist of it and then put me together a few items to get started, I wouldn't be mad at that. I think that's what I left it at. Mm. So it's kind of like, if there's something else you were already planning on getting me and you're excited about, then get it. And don't worry about it. I'll waste my money on it some other time. But if not, I don't know. Maybe if she's listening to this podcast right now, she probably is, then this would be a great place to get some research.
There you go. You heard it here first, Kinsey.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's so funny how it always feels like it works out for me, just considering how frequently I go through hobbies, that I get into something and I get like deathly into something right at Christmas time. And
yeah.
Perfect.
It does kick up right around that time. Yeah. I just don't know. And the good thing about EDC, there are certain hobbies. Like, if I look back on my last few hobbies, I haven't really had any in particular that don't have a way to do it on the cheap. And EDC, you can certainly do on the cheap. I mean, you could literally go to a dollar store and put together some kind of everyday carry bag with a few screwdrivers and a knife and a like cheaper sling bag of some sort or something like that. Like you could do it very cheap, but that's not fun. You know, I want mine to be made out of some metal that I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of, I want to drop it and people think that I dropped something that weighs 10 times more than
so
what I dropped.
You earlier made a joke about chapstick being titanium and matte black. Is that an actual thing? Do they have actual chapstick?
No,
things?
I was, so Jason, this is the way I was trying to explain it to my wife. I said, think of something you would carry in your pocket, something completely normal and simple, like chapstick, for instance. Now, take that, make it matte black and made out of titanium and put it back in your bag, and now that's EDC.
Yeah.
I literally told Kenzie, I was like, that probably exists. Like, there's probably a chapstick.
Yeah, I'm sure there
is. Because I watched this guy on YouTube pull out a dog treat dispenser in matte black that was made out of metal. I watched him pull out a hand sanitizer dispenser.
Oh, I know a dog treat dispenser.
That, like, clipped onto his waist, and the man was absolutely just launching hand sanitizer out of it. Like, it was crazy. Yeah, he had like this little trapdoor dog treat dispenser thing. He's like clicking it. And then he had the best one was this gum dispenser that looks like a little like tube. And then when he flicked it open, super satisfying noise. It like shot the gum into his mouth. He was like,
oh my God.
Coolest thing
I
ever saw.
That's the funny thing. I don't ever carry gum or chew gum, but like I would start.
Yeah, exactly. And it was metal and made, it was matte black, made of metal.
Yeah.
There you go. And the funniest part too is like, then there's two layers to these things. Cause he was like, oh, and you do have to use their gum, by the way.
Right.
And it's like, oh no. Cause like, that's always the second layer of these hobbies is like, you're going to find one subset that needs a specific, cause like if you're designing a product, why would you not make a sub product that depends on the first product?
Yep. Yeah.
That's just how you make money. Like, I don't know.
That's funny. Yeah, there's so many channels out there on EDC. Like, I don't even know. I don't subscribe to any of them because if I do, it'll pop up my feed and I'll watch it. Because I've watched enough, it pops up as a recommended thing. What I love are the ones that there's a guy, and a few of them do it, but there's one British guy who does it, like EDC in a British Mentos guy. Can.
Oh,
it's
I
like
heard
a
about
little
that.
Bitty can, and he has these little, it's just amazing to see the things he finds. Of course, I'll go watch the budget ones because, again, I have three kids in college, so
that's
I
where
watch
I
the,
need to pivot.
Under $100 EDC. So.
Because right now my algorithm is just generic, and it's guys recommending really good quality things that are super expensive. I need to pivot into the budget EDC world because that's what I was able to do to my tool algorithm. I was able to pivot it into like budget tools, and I need to pivot the EDC thing.
It's basically
that.
Every hobby that I get is always budget, and then whatever hobby is after it.
Because it's great, and it can be done. The only thing about the EDC is like because the objects are so already so small and simple, the only thing that they can really have is build quality. Like build quality is really where your money goes. And
or
so,
name
like,
brand though.
Or name. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You still do pay for name. Absolutely. But build quality is a big thing. So it can be tougher to navigate. Because, like, if I'm buying a pocket knife, then, like you almost want to get, like, invest a little bit in it because you want to get the build quality up. But you don't have to get super expensive either, though.
It's the trade-off. The knives, it comes and goes because you can get the really expensive $150 knife that's going to last forever, or you can get a $20 knife and go through, like, a few of those over the same amount of time. So
that's it. Well,
I would love a really nice $120 knife, but my $30 knife will be just fine, and I'll buy four or five of those.
Well, along with this EDC hobby, the next hobby that is going to, well, not even hobby, but skill that I'm going to have to acquire is knife sharpening.
That's one thing I need to do because I also bought an axe for my house because I got to chop wood for my fireplace. I'm like, I really need to figure out how to
get a grinder for that bad boy.
Got Connor for that? All right.
No, he's
get a grinder for that bad boy.
Oh, yeah. Have a grinder. That's fine. I didn't think about that. Okay. Anyway.
You can sharpen your axe with a grinder.
Yeah. That's it. I have a grinder.
Edge
so,
on it.
Yeah.
But I totally agree. Like, I really need to learn how to sharpen my axes and learn how to sharpen my knives.
That's the past 2 days I've watched so many sharpening videos.
Yeah.
I watched like one because I wanted to know how to do it, and then now, of course, it's all over my YouTube. And whenever I scroll through my shorts, it's like just all people sharpening knives, and it's just super satisfying.
It's such an important skill to have because it's like I've got kitchen knives right now. Like the knife block I have comes with a sharpener, and the block thing stinks. Can't even see what's going on in there. That might give me an edge for all of 2 seconds. I get through two slices of an onion with that thing. But like. they're nice knives. Like, we spent a decent amount on these kitchen knives. Like, if I knew how to sharpen them, they would be great knives again. Because when we got them, they were razor sharp. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I feel like when you can sharpen a knife, you can just increase the value of everything around you. I have all these blades.
We have
once a dull. No more.
We have really nice, like, kitchen knives because my grandmother worked at a really expensive kitchen store whenever we got married. So that's what she got for us. And they're Damascus steel.
That's so sick.
And they are the, so the J.J. Heckles has, like, bought, like, a Japanese brand knife, like, the Japanese style kitchen knives, and so it's on their, like, Japanese side, so that's why they're the Damascus, and they're like a traditional Japanese handle and everything. They're super, super cool. So they're, like, razor sharp, and we love using them. I walked into our house one day, like a couple years ago. It was, like, shortly after we got the knives, and our, like, the smaller knife that comes with it. I walked in, and Gabby had a bag of ice open, and she was just chopping at it with the tip of this knife.
Oh my God.
And I walked in, and I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, this ice is all, like, clumped together, so I'm just breaking it up. And I was like, don't use that knife to do. I was like, because I knew that if I, like, made it, like absolutely don't do that, that's a terrible idea, then she was gonna be, like, embarrassed and or whatever. So I was like, just don't use that knife whenever you do that. Like, don't use a knife at all. And she was like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know. And the tip of it was broken off. And later I was like, just let you know, like, in the blacksmithing, like, videos and shows that I watch, in order to destroy a blade as much as they can, they hack at a piece of ice with it. Like, that. Wow. Like, that's, like, yeah, one of the ways that you ruin a blade the most. So, like, just don't do that with a knife. Which I understand that's what so she was funny. Thinking. It's a piece of metal. Right.
Yeah.
And this is right. ice. So, like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. But I just walked in and I was like,
That's so funny. They make Damascus steel, like, pocket knives, and I want one real bad. Have you ever watched how they make Damascus steel?
Oh, I know. With all the layers? I was really, really into blacksmithing for a while.
It's literally just, like, up to thousands of layers of steel, wow, like, different kinds of steel. And
yeah, what they do is they take a piece of steel and they fold it over itself and usually fill it in with different kinds of like, metal dust in order to make it stick a little bit better. And then they put it back in the forge. They hammer and flatten that out to where it's kind of welded together, forge welded together. Then they fold it again, and they put it back in the forge, and then hit it again, fold it again. And so they just basically are...
I never seen them do where they folded. The one I saw, the guy literally just was stacking them.
Yes,
and then he, like, welded those together in the forge and then just pounded
it. So what I'm describing is definitely more of, like, a traditional way to do it, but that is awesome. Well, even whenever they do that and they pound it, they typically fold it again and forge weld it again.
It's like making, like, a layer cake. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Out of steel.
I watched Forged in Fire, like, religiously for, like, 3 years, and it was awesome.
Yeah, forging, that was something I never... I made a forge.
I made a forge in my parents' backyard in high school out of cinder blocks, a shop vac, and a paint can, and it was freaking awesome. It was shooting flames like 3 feet out of it, and I made my dad a tomahawk out of a massive, like, 27-millimeter wrench. And
it was cool. Melted down a wrench.
Yeah, because I saw a YouTube video on it, and I was like, "That's what I'm making my dad for Christmas."
How'd you make the mold?
I didn't melt it down. I
just shaped
you
it.
You just shaped it?
Yeah, so I put the head of it in the forge.
Oh, you use, like, the handle as is.
Yeah.
And just took
the head
and turned it into
and
a hatchet.
Just shaped the used a hammer and used the anvil and
like, that's
it was
crazy.
I did, like, very traditional like blacksmithing on it.
It
was awesome.
Ever?
No, probably took a couple hours.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I bet you I can find a picture of it.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Maybe. I'm actually not sure.
That's crazy.
It was very fun, though.
Yeah, smithing is pretty cool.
He still has it. It's basically useless. I didn't harden it correctly because I was like, that part's not fun.
that's where you have to, like, dip it in different things.
Yeah, you have to get it, like, white hot. So you can either do it, if you're at home, you can either put it in the oven and then put it in oil, or you can get it white hot in your forge and then put it in oil. But I just didn't do that part.
Dang.
I was like, he's not going to use
shoddy
this.
Craftsman. Yeah.
It was just a cool, like, decoration, basically.
That is cool, though. I was like definitely when I was younger, I was definitely into the forge thing, but I didn't never had the means to make it happen. Yeah, if I would have started making one of those in my backyard, I would have been probably in severe trouble. I would not have been allowed to make a forge. I don't know if I would have had space for it. My neighbor was a little too close. They would probably have been like, why is this kid about to start a fire? But that was a pretty big hobby, though, on YouTube for a while. I feel like that's all I used to see was like people making forges in their backyard, melting all the aluminum they could get their hands on.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a lot of ones where they were doing like sand molds with the aluminum. They just poured in and then they clear out the sand and they'd have people make like figurines that way and like stuff like that. Not as much forging as it is just like melting down metal and pouring it.
Yeah.
The other YouTube kind of guilty pleasure addiction I have, and there's a lot of them out there, right? Is hot tent camping. You would probably watch. Have you watched any of the hot tent camping?
No.
So like, I mean, there's like some of those that have 20 and 30 million views where basically they're camping in the winter in the snow, but they have like a little wood burning oven that goes in the tent.
Oh,
have
you not that's seen cool. No, I haven't. Oh,
wow. Like you go look, just go Google hot tent camping or Google YouTube hot tent camping. And so last year I had developed some anxiety issues. And so I found that watching hot tent camping, the ASMR of it would like give me peace or whatever. Right. And so like the good ones, there's one called Hike Camp Climb where he doesn't talk the entire 45 minute video. It's just him hiking out into the woods, setting up his tent and then putting up his stove, which is a little small wood. It's a metal stove that just folds all the way flat. And then he goes and chops the wood, but then most of it's about cooking a good meal or whatever. And so he cooks it right on the stove.
That's cool.
And the stove's about like that big.
That's
you can look up hot tent camping.
I will say there's
a bunch of them out there that have just like, I mean, YouTube's crazy. Random stuff has millions and millions of views.
Yeah.
So, but there's a few I watch, and Hike Camp Climb is the name of this one. He doesn't talk at all. And there's one called Bomb Outdoors, who's just kind of a funny guy who's out in Oregon. He's very similar, but the winter ones, they'll pull the little sled behind them with all their gear on it. And then they'll go put up their tent and try out different tents. Talking about getting a bunch of free stuff to try out. And then a lot of it's just what they're cooking. And I just like to see how they cook out in the, sometimes it's glamping, but sometimes it's really like, you know, no kidding.
That's super cool.
Bushcrafting. So.
I have seen some like kind of camping ASMR videos before on TikTok actually, where like there's this guy who always camps. It's always him pouring down rain. And he has his setup like hooks onto the back of his car or truck or whatever it is. It's one of those tents that kind of folds out from it, but like you can open his trunk and have that storage there.
Yeah.
And like the whole purpose, he has all these different gadgets and sets it.
Is it like a rooftop tent?
No. Okay. It just like, it's
like
imagine,
a canopy?
Imagine if you had a big tent and your SUV could back into it so that you could access the back of it, but it's just a freestanding tent.
Yep. I've seen those.
But it's more just a canopy because it doesn't have a bottom. He uses like a cot.
Okay.
Because he's always camping on like a gravel space, and he just sets up all his gadgets, and you hear like the rain hitting the tent the whole time, and it is very calming.
Yeah.
I watch it like a lot of overlanding videos. Yeah. Like one of my favorite YouTube channels is called 4WD 24/7, which they're an Australian channel that does like Australian outback off-roading. And it's so much fun to watch. And they all have such awesome personalities because they're all Australian. And Australians are so cool. And they actually just came to the U.S. and did a collab with my number one favorite YouTube channel, which is Donut Media, which is the hat I'm wearing, which is an American car channel. And so I'm very excited for whenever those videos come out. But they do their overlanding like a little bit different over there because they all sleep in swags is what they call it. Which is just like single person kind of cot tents, but they call them swags, which I think is really funny. But they have like their trucks decked out. Like they just open the things on the side. They have the drawers that come out. They have coolers on hydraulic lifts where you roll it out and then just like push up and the cooler just raises. And
that's sick.
They've got the stoves, all that stuff. And it's super, super cool.
Yeah. Camping, man. You want to talk about another hobby that has endless expensive gear on
that's my camping
is
the problem with camping is that if it says camping in front of it, the price is crazy. So there's so many regular items. Like if you want to get cheaper stuff for camping, leave the camping section.
Yeah.
Because if it's in the camping section, it's way more expensive.
They got that orange and green branding on it to some extent with like a mountain in the background. And
whenever I went camping with my dad, oh my gosh, I walked up and he had this was the first thing. He had a North Face tent.
Which
just means it's expensive as crap. He said he got it on like a really good sale.
I didn't know they made tents.
That's like their thing. It's like, well, I think they originally did clothes, I guess.
Yeah.
But I didn't really either because I would never look into a tent that has that big of a brand name on
it. If I see the North Face logo and I'm buying it, it's probably because it's like a beanie.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. No, that's a great point. But it was the nicest tent I've ever seen. It was really, the tent poles themselves were like so like thick,
yeah,
but still like super lightweight, and they were so it was the easiest tent that I've ever disassembled, because I didn't assemble it, because here I had it set up whenever I got there. But
the tent is just assembling.
It was the nicest tent I've ever seen. It was
North
crazy.
Face, North Face, and like Patagonia.
My tent is from Amazon.
Yeah, I actually have two tents somehow. I don't know how. North Face and Patagonia both like really had a really big run in like the mainstream for clothing. Like when I was in college, all the Patagonia especially was big, but like North Face probably a few years before that. And it's all really nice stuff. Like even to this day, it's just really expensive. And like, it was really mainstream there for a while. Like everybody was wearing Patagonia.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like you said, it's quality. It's expensive, but it's probably not worth the cost you're paying for it, but the quality is good. Like we have instead of having suitcases, we have North Face camp duffels, big duffels.
Oh,
but we got, like, no kidding, at the outlets, if you bought it full price, it'd be like $150. We got our bags for like $30 or $40 just because we haven't hit it like the perfect.
They always perfect have crazy deals at the North Face outlet.
Outlets are great. We actually, we were recently, there's this store, Connor, you'd love this store. It's in downtown Roanoke. My wife and I have been there the past 2 years for our anniversary. And it's basically, the concept is it's meant to be this giant, it's huge. It's a general store. But they like are full of Carhartt, L.L. Bean, Patagonia, North Face, all those big outdoor brands. And they have all that clothing. They have like, if you walk upstairs, like all the shoes you can buy are like the most expensive. Like you're going to find your Bluntstones, like like really expensive boots or trail shoes and stuff like that. And then they have just a bunch of like other outdoorsy things. And yeah, it's a really cool store. But like you walk through the whole thing and you're like, I would buy everything in here because I know it's like insane quality. But oh my gosh, like you could not walk out with a full shopping bag that didn't cost you $400.
That's crazy.
And you want to talk about a good place to get EDC stuff though. Oh my gosh, they have so many knives there. It's insane. But we always walk out. This last time, we walked through just because we'd been there before, so we knew we weren't going to get anything probably, but we walked through and we get to the end and Kenzie was like, I need a bottle of water. And I was like, I guess you can just grab one from here, like whatever, it's bottled water. And like, so we just bought a bottle of water and the cashier was like, just the water? I was like, we're walking around this really expensive, like nice store and we just walked out with a bottle of water. But yeah, that stuff, I love all those outdoorsy clothing
brands.
They're
so much fun.
Their jackets just look warm.
Oh yeah, when we lived in, I was big, I'm still a big REI guy, but REI is just expensive unless you get it their annual sale during Memorial Day. But when we lived in Colorado,
I like walking around REI.
Yeah, I love walking around REI. I can't buy too much of their stuff, but when we lived in Colorado Springs, there was an REI there, so it was like a dream for 3 years just to be able to go drive to REI. And we got a bunch of stuff, but we always got it on crazy clearance. Like we got a 6-person North Face tent for a couple $100.
Dang.
We got a Thule roof rack that was like their floor model that had been returned or something crazy for like $150. Like,
that's awesome.
You can get the crazy good deals. Mm-hmm. You just got to be super lucky.
I think it's actually where
my
dad got his tent from was from REI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little fun fact for you guys. You know, for some reason, the cable to this mic is driving me crazy. It's making it so quiet.
We see you keep messing with it over
there.
It's
so annoying. But do you know what the shoes Uggs were originally made for?
I'm assuming something in Australia.
I think I've heard this.
Yeah, it is in Australia. You're right. But they were made for surfers.
Oh,
they're surfer shoes to wear like before and after surfing, obviously, to keep their feet warm.
Fascinating.
That's why it makes a lot of sense. That's why the bottom is made out of foam. There's no real tread on it or anything. Like they're never meant to be like
and now
like hiking, like warm boots for anything other than right. walking through sand into your car.
I'm saying now, like, the height of their brand is girls right. that yeah. wear Fashion. Them to yeah. Starbucks.
As opposed to utility. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that is funny. I must be
and Brody.
Imagine, yeah, imagine, like, and that's happened with, that happens with brands, like, all the time, I'm sure, where they have to basically pivot and be like, okay, we were designed for this. Our vision was to create this, but we're making so much money because of this that we just need to pivot our brand. Like, imagine in Ugg's case, like, whoever invented it was probably, like, a surfer, probably, like, yeah. wanted something really practical and cool. And then at some point, they had to at least somewhat pivot their brand to market towards middle-aged women and younger women who wanted to wear them because they looked cute. And, like, that must be interesting. I'm just thinking, like, of myself. Like, I think I would probably just be like, you know what? At least we got something that people like, right. and it's a nice product. Let's just roll with it. But, like, that must takes a little bit of humbling. Yeah. Like, imagine if you design.
Yeah, but then you get the check from it.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure at the end of the day, you're like, hey, it's successful. But there's probably a little part of you that had to die when you were like, this was designed. It's like if you were to do it with, like, especially if you were to do it with something that's meant to be a little more rugged, even, like, a little more outdoorsy rugged, and it uh-huh. became, like, just a hipster trendy thing that like, women were wearing, you'd just be like, interesting.
Like Chacos.
Yeah, gotta like Chacos.
At least Chacos, like, the even, style was outdoor
even,
style.
Even right. Blundstones probably became that a little bit. I don't know what they started as.
Well, they're an Australian. Blundstones are a legit boot.
Oh, they're awesome. They're my wife has a pair. They rock.
Gabby's had hers for years and years and years, and she's worn them through, like, mud and, like, it's through snow and everything.
They're incredible.
And hers still look like they're brand new. They're a legit, super, super well-made boot. But you're right. They're a style boot now.
Yeah. That is just, that's, I guess clothing, it's just set up for that. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Because, like, if you're ever going to get into the mainstream, it's going to be because people like the way it looks.
Well, I mean, because it's even the same thing with Hokas.
Right.
People wear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
People don't wear Hokas for running
totally.
Anymore.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah, totally.
I mean, some people do.
That,
course,
I think that's just the clothing industry is like, you, a lot of them start in a niche. Like, unless if you're designing clothing that is meant to be practical, at least you're going to start in a niche, whether that niche be running, hiking, surfing, whatever. And then if you're going to ever make it to the mainstream, it's going to have to be for looks. Because, like, the ultimate mainstream of clothing is never going to really exist in a niche. There are some that are much bigger than others, like running, for example. But, yeah, it's just going to be how it is, I guess.
Which the funny thing is, we say for looks, but Hokas have always been ugly.
Like, no, I like Hokas. I think the white
Hokas.
They
have a unique look.
I think the white Hokas look
think
sick.
I think now they look sick. No, but, like, a few years ago, they never changed the way they look. They've always looked the way that they look. But I just, like, 3-4 years ago, I was like, that's the ugliest shoe I've ever seen.
I never
start wearing
them
with jeans, and I'm like, and it turns into the new style because they make the big old foamy sole like the new style or whatever.
Well, that's true, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I mean, the fashion changed your perspective.
Shoe style has changed. You know, shoes have gotten chunkier again. Like, that chunkier shoe style has kind of come back a little more. I feel like we went through a really big phase where, like, when I was growing up, the shoes got really everything got skinny, right? Our jeans got skinny.
Yeah, right.
We were wearing Vans, and, like, if you were wearing Nikes, you were wearing Roshis or, like, Free Runs that were pretty form-fitting. And just now shoes are starting to get, like, the Air Force Ones have come back in big. Like, you're seeing shoes, the chunkier shoe coming back. You're also seeing the baggier clothes come back. It is a revolving door. I thought that the era of 2000s clothes would never come back. I thought it was, like, the worst of all time. And here it comes. Hop on the train, baby.
Yep.
It's kind of like, it's a deflating feeling buying clothing knowing that. Like, there are certain things, though. The problem is there are certain things in clothing that, like, I swear I won't go back on. One of them being the length of my shorts. And, like, it's funny because, like, I basically turned into my father where, like, when I was growing up, you wore shorts that were knee length and below. Like, that was what was cool. But, like, and my dad would wear shorter shorts because that's what he would have them from when he was in college.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, that looks ridiculous. And he'd be like, no, it doesn't. And now I understand. Like, I like a shorter length short. Doesn't have to be crazy short, but, like, shorter. And I know those longer shorts will come back eventually. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to resist. How long will I be able to resist?
I don't know. I definitely have always been a skinny jean person.
Yeah.
And
there, and they're not as main as they were now. But no, I'm the same. Not. I'm the same way where like I problem, still like them.
The problem is I was a pioneer for the skinny jean. And
it's personal
was,
to you.
It is. I yeah. was, it was a personal battle I was a part of. I was the first person at my middle school to wear skinny jeans. Not the first boy, the yeah. first person. Because I went to a really, really redneck middle school. And so I fought for it. More by that I mean I got beat up for it, so I deserve
physically to actually fault.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So let the skinny jeans rise and stay strong. But I just had this realization the other day where I was like, it is what I like. But if I just say I'm not gonna go back to wide pants just because they're in style because I still like skinny jeans, then I'm gonna turn into that guy that's not in style anymore that I look yeah. at and I'm like, why do you still think that's cool? That's not cool anymore. And I'm like, I have to be willing. Not everybody. I think it's okay for everybody to stay in whatever style they want to. But for me, I want to be in the styles because I like it. That's something yeah. that's part of my hobby as well. I enjoy being in the styles and the fashions and the trends. So I have to be willing to try things that I don't necessarily
that's a
think look
you.
Great right
I
now.
I
want
to see your new jeans. I
wore them last night.
There you go. I did the same thing. I bought a looser pair of jeans because like I was in the skinnies for a few. I actually wasn't in the skinnies for very long.
Gabby kept like, on getting mad at me because I kept on looking down and being like, I look just like my grandpa can.
I was sitting in like the more slim cut jean for a very long time, resisting
super
the skinnies.
Skinny. I buy super skinnies.
Yeah, I just went down to skinny because my legs are thick. So I mean, they're like wallpaper on me even.
I've never owned. I mean, I'm an older dude anyway, so I'm yeah. okay with that. My style stayed
Here's
fairly
thing,
similar,
Jason.
But I've never like I have like a pair of dress pants. They're not super skinny, but they're
Ooh.
Fitted. Like
Ooh.
They are tapered. Okay. They're the ones I wore at my daughter's wedding. So, but they're more
the
tapered. Like, cause they're more what we'd call them athletic cut, right? Because they cut to the athletics of the
here's
legs.
Here's the thing,
so.
Jason. A boot cut jean, it's never gonna be a problem. No. Never gonna be a problem, especially when you are a older, more experienced gentleman with an awesome gray beard. You're going to look just fine wearing exactly what you wear every day.
I think that's the problem. At that age, I don't really care. Like,
sorry,
I do care,
heck,
but that's what I want it to be. So.
I've gotten to the point where I've got a kid and another on the way, and I'm already starting to think, man, maybe I'm just going to wear bootcut jeans and flannels the rest of my life. Like, I might just throw in the towel.
I'm not
it
wearing
is,
flannels.
It allures,
I am,
it allures
I am
me.
Standing up against flannels because from whenever I was in Old Navy the other day and all their regular
go to Walmart,
normal
dude.
Flannels were $45. Yeah. Not
you
okay
gotta
with
go
that.
To Walmart.
Not okay with that.
At Walmart, they're $10. They are, yeah. and they're yeah. great. And yeah. they're $10. Good. Well, I have discovered, and partially because I moved out to a part of our area where Walmart is like the main store. But the clothing at Walmart rocks.
Oh, yeah.
It kicks
In the past
butt.
Couple of years, they've
you
kicked
can get,
it up.
You can get Wrangler's jeans that are fine for $20. Yeah. You can get flannels for $10. You can buy, like, I have, like, this flannel, like, jacket thing I got for, like, $30. That thing at Old Navy would cost you a loan. You'd have to take a loan to get that thing. I mean, it is shocking. Like, every piece of clothing, because, like, they've just finally kind of caught up a little bit. Like you know, it just took them a little while to like figure out like this is what humans wear on human on Earth here, but oh man, it's great, it's a great time. I also just I do a lot of shopping at Goodwill. I went to the Goodwill in Roanoke, and I cleaned house.
I'm a Plato's Closet guy.
It's too expensive for my taste, man.
I've never gone to Plato's.
No, I love Plato's. I just haven't been in a long time.
I just know that these shoes are like $120 shoes, and I got them for $19.
Shoes are the best thing.
Yes.
Best things you can get at Plato's. Wow. And they used to be really good at Ross as well, but now the selection always stinks. It used to be incredible. I used to walk into Ross and buy $30 Nikes like on a regular basis.
Yeah,
I'll never forget my greatest Ross find. I always loved the Adidas Ultra Boost shoe. I always thought it was so great. It's always like a shoe that you're going to have to buy for at least $130 retail. And I'll never forget on my birthday, maybe my sophomore year in college, I walked into Ross and one pair of Ultra Boost is staring me in the face, and they happen to be exactly in my size, the only pair.
Wow.
On my birthday. And I still have them to this day. I love those shoes. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten nearly the wear out of them as I like because I have this weird thing. I think I have an arch issue or something where certain shoes, particularly new ones, but then just certain shoes, will bother the top of my left foot.
Huh.
Like almost feel like they're very putting specific. Too much pressure on the top of my left foot, which probably means there's just some kind of arch thing happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, and those Ultra Boosts are one of them. They're very comfortable shoes, like incredibly comfortable. But if I wear them too long, the top of my left foot starts to bother me. If anybody's listening and has any idea what that's about, let me know. It saved me a lot of trouble with the shoes. Like a lot of pairs of shoes I bought have given me that issue where it's just the top of my left foot where it feels like I can't loosen them enough. Like I'll be sitting there at my desk and I'll just take my shoe off. Because I'm like, this is just bothering me. Not like a searing pain, just like a dull, constant, annoying pressure. Thinking about it right now is making my left foot hurt.
It's funny you say it, because not in the same way with the specifics for that, but like I had back surgery last spring, so before we moved here, and since then, the outside of my right leg is partially numb, and part of my right foot, the outside of my right foot is numb. So there are times that I'm just sitting there, I'm like, crap, my foot hurts. But it doesn't, and it feels really odd. Yeah. So like since then, the outside of my, so sometimes it feels like basically like I'm standing on the side of a ledge, right? Like my foot's kind of
hanging off.
That's
crazy.
When I'm aware of it, it bothers the crap out of me. A lot of times I can ignore it, but like as soon as you start talking about your left foot, like my foot started hurting.
It's like,
right? like that weirdness of.
It's like when your brain catches on stuff. It's like whenever people used to tweet this or like put this out and be like, you're now breathing on manual mode or whatever. And you breathe like, that and then you start thinking about your breaths.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, like this is so annoying. Like I have to think about my breathing. Or it would be like, they would say things like, you now can't decide where you, like your tongue is not comfortable in your mouth. Like you can't find a place to put it. I'm going to keep doing it.
Because right now my tongue is like,
you guys are going to start squirming.
It feels weird all of a sudden.
I know it's happening to me too. I'm going to stop. But like things like that, where like once your brain latches onto them, Connor's struggling right now.
I'm about to die.
Which one was it? The breathing or the tongue?
Both.
Yeah, you just sit there and
trying to breathe now.
Your tongue suddenly turned into liquid.
Yeah, you're like, okay, if this breathing thing's supposed to happen on its own, then do it then. I'm testing it. I'm just not going to breathe. Yeah, that's what happens. Okay. I ruined you guys.
It's going to be on my mind the rest of the day. I'm going to put some music on to try to ignore
and
what Trevor told me.
You think it'll never go away, but then you know how our brains are. It takes
every once in a while it just hits.
5 minutes to like think of something else we have to do.
I'm about to pass out. I can't breathe.
No, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right, man. That's the trends. All right, how long have we been going?
49 minutes.
All right. It's good enough for me.
We got to get out the wheel to find the next component.
Oh, yeah, get the wheel out.
I'll get the wheel. Spin that wheel. Here we go. Let's see if I can get on the show again. I've been on a good stretch. I've been enjoying it. I really missed the banter there for a while, and it's been good to be back. All right. I really should save, like, this wheel. That would probably be, like, extremely helpful. All right, Silas. I must put Hunter's or Connor's name on there. That would be silly. Trevor, Hunter, Jason, and Brad. All right.
I will say this, though. Somebody shot me a note randomly talking board game stuff and disc golf stuff. And he said, he goes, I'm tooting my own horn here, so I apologize. I definitely enjoy what he say. He says something like, thanks for bringing some maturity and life experience to the banter.
Hey, so, there you go. There
that's awesome.
I said, I have fun.
Do we like show the camera when we spin it?
No.
Is that a thing?
No.
Should we start? Would that be exciting for them?
Sure.
Can they see it? Probably won't be able to see. Like, can you read any amount of that?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this thing.
You can make the noises.
Oh my gosh. It's me.
Come on, Trev.
It's Trevor.
I'm back on. 2 weeks in a row. The wheel's starting to like me now. I'll remove my name here. And Silas.
Oh, come on.
Me, Silas, and Con next week.
Rowdy bunch.
That is
going to
be a rowdy bunch.
Rowdy bunch.
It might be EDC part two. Do we have to do sound effects? Do we still do that?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, not all the time? Who's not upholding that?
Just do your best. Just do your best, like opening a pocket knife, like the sound of that.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
I got
Can
you.
I Foley
I'll go,
it?
I'll go first.
Is that cheating to Foley it? Oh, that was really good.
Here we go, Ray.
Okay. Okay. I respect that. It was good. I'm going to Foley it.
What do you mean by Foley it?
Use an object.
Oh.
That was terrible. I thought by tapping a piece of plastic I'd have an advantage. I did not.
Okay, I'm going to cheat.
Whoa!
Wow, Jason.
Jason
how'd you
did
do
that with
that
his
with your mouth?
Mouth.
I am very talented.
He actually used his armpit.
That was crazy.